Open your Bibles, please, to the book of James, the first chapter. James chapter 1. If you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1306, page 1306. And while you're finding your place, okay, we'll be reading verses 5 through 10 of this first chapter, and then we'll be turning to yet another verse in the book of James. The text verse is verse 8 of this passage. And then we'll turn a page to another verse after we read this passage. Shall we stand, please, and we'll read responsively verses 5 through 10. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Turn now to chapter 4, the book of James. And we'll read together verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read it together, please. Ready? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this good day. Thank you that we're free to assemble here in this place. Thank you for the choice blessings of life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. But thank you especially for our salvation. And thank you for this service. We pray that thou wouldst bless now in the preaching and give us alertness and a desire to hear what you've prepared for us. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God that has all the answers. And thank you for the copy we have, and thank you for this Holy Spirit that thou hast given us to instruct us of the Word that he has authored. And now, bless our hearts together for these moments today. In Jesus' name, amen. Every Monday morning every Monday between 10 and 1 o'clock, I board an airplane to O'Hara Field, have for many, many years. I don't know how many years, probably 20 or more. Every Monday morning, I board an airplane to O'Hara Field and fly somewhere to speak. Tomorrow night, God willing, I'll be in Odessa, Texas. Last Monday, I flew to Boston, Massachusetts. Next Monday, I fly to Stockton, California, near San Francisco. And I speak Monday night, Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night almost every week. But every week I speak, but nearly every week that's my schedule. And I'd say at least 75% of the time we have a question and answer session for Christian workers at a luncheon in some restaurant on Tuesday at noon. And I stand up like I do here on Sunday night, and they ask me questions. And, of course, my tremendous reservoir of knowledge is poured forth and bathed and adorned by my humility. But I am often asked questions that, well, practically every place in the country, the questions are the same. The questions that are asked me in Boston will be asked me in San Francisco. The questions that are asked me in Canada are asked me in Florida. We all are human beings. We all have the same hurts. We have the same needs. And this question's asked me almost every week. Brother Hiles, how do you get your sermons? And I always answer like this. When I finish preaching on Sunday night, I go to my office. I usually have counseling sessions, if not, some kind of committee meeting or group to meet. And after I have finished that, it's usually somewhere at 10, 10:15. And I sit down behind my desk and relive the day. I ask myself, after having been with my people for a Sunday, what do I believe is the need of our church? Usually, I know what I'm going to preach about next Sunday morning and next Sunday night before I leave the office on Sunday evening. I also get my sermons from counseling with people. I've averaged over 145 sessions a week of people coming to my office to ask advice or counseling for many, many years. If I see a particular need or question or problem that is asked by several people, that becomes my little Gallup poll or my little Harris poll, and I feel that if several people have the same need, perhaps that might be a representative need of all the congregation. This morning, I'm going to bring a simple message, but it is really one of the most important things of my life. This week, six different people have told me the same problem they're having. Just happened to be, these all were females, all adult ladies. I do not believe for a minute that the problem that I'm going to confront this morning is unique to the feminine gender. I think it is an affliction on all mankind, but six people have said the same thing to me this week. And I'll guarantee you, if you listen to me, I believe I can help you as I speak on the subject, the double-minded man. This is the thing that these six people have said. And through the years, I found thousands of people who have this problem. And I dare say this morning in this auditorium, we have hundreds of people who have this problem. Here's what they say. Are you listening? Here's what they say. They said, Pastor, I cry for no reason at all. I'm not sad. I don't know why I cry. I don't know what causes it. I just cry. Usually they say that after I start crying, then I get sad for some reason, and I may even have some pity pains and the pity party, self-sympathy. But Pastor, the weeping comes unannounced. I'm not thinking about anything that's negative. I'm not thinking about anything that's sad. I have no forewarning. The tears just come, and then comes the sadness. Now listen carefully. I can't help you if you don't listen. And you won't listen as well if you don't look at me. Now follow me carefully. I can tell you now why all of a sudden the tears come and melancholy-ness comes. Without you think, look, good night. If you just lost a loved one, sure, you're going to think about that and cry. If you just lost your job, sure, you're going to think about that and cry. But it, all of a sudden, it attacks you. Just attacks you. You get blue, you cry, no reason for it at all. Here it is. The subconscious mind has become sad and confused. Now, please listen. Don't miss it. The subconscious mind has become sad and confused. When the
in the conscious mind, you get sad and then cry. In the subconscious mind, you cry and then get sad. Now, James 1:8 says that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you listening? The word double, the little hyphenated word double-minded, or big hyphenated word double-minded, here's what it means. It means two souls. It comes from the Greek word psuko, dis, meaning two, psuko, or psuke, meaning souls. The word is dipsukos, and it means two souls. The two-soul person. Now, the word unstable. The word unstable means out of order, incomplete, unfinished. Everything is not completed yet. Now look at me. That means that the two-souled man has unfinished business. It does not mean that he gets unstable because he's double-minded. It means he gets double-minded because he's unstable. The double-minded man is already unstable. The instability caused the double-mindedness. Now, what is the instability? The instability is things are not in order. There's something not completed. The two-souled man is not completed in his mind. He has some unfinished business. Now, ladies, listen, I'll explain the conscious double-minded person. Here's a lady who plans to clean the house. She has it all planned. She's going to clean the stove. She's going to wax the kitchen floor. She's going to clean the cabinets, put new paper in the cabinets. She's going to vacuum the carpet. She's going to put the summer clothes in the closet and get the winter clothes out for the season. She's going to wash the walls. And I've got down here, she's going to sun the mattress. I don't know if you sun mattresses anymore. But my mama used to say, son, would you take the mattress outside? Now, folks, are no handles on a mattress. On a windy day, I'd rather fight the wild beast in Ephesus than to take a mattress outside. Do they still take mattresses outside and sun mattresses? Well, you ought to. I don't know why, but mama did it, and mama ain't dumb. And anyway, we'll cut that one. Okay, ladies, you're going to clean the stove, wax the kitchen floor, clean the cabinets, vacuum the carpet, put the summer clothes in the closet, take the winter clothes out, and wash the walls. Now, you get up and you feel like $1,000. No, you feel better than that. You feel like $1,000,000. I mean, boy, and, you know, it's that day when you feel like, boy, I'm just going to clean up everything. The other day, I was that way. I got in my office and decided to clean it up. But I lost my zeal about 10 o'clock in the morning after the thing was a mess. By the way, that big desk I've got, I can do 3 laps around it now instead of 2. But anyway, so you feel great. Boy, oh boy, you know what, that you feel, you just got it in your blood. So today is it. Finally, I'm going to clean the stove, wax the floor, clean the cabinets, vacuum the carpet, put the summer clothes in the closet, take the winter clothes out, and wash the wall. So, what happened? The baby of all mornings wakes up early. The commode is stopped up all of a sudden. Aunt Emma is coming through town and calls and gives you the good news that she's going to spend an hour with you that day. The dog gets run over. Your husband calls to say the boss is coming home for dinner. Junior sticks a nail in his foot. You spot a mouse on the kitchen floor. The washing machine goes out, and before you know it, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The stove is as dirty as it was. The kitchen floor is not mopped, much less whacked. The cabinets have the same paper that's been there since the flood. The carpet remains unvacuumed. The summer clothes are still in the basement. Winter clothes are still in the closet, and your washing walls is canceled. Why? Because of all the things that came out. Now, nothing is finished. You started the walls, none finished. You started the closet, unfinished. You started the cabinets, unfinished. Are you listening? Unfinished. Now, you sit down and you cry. And your husband comes home. And you're crying. And he says, what's wrong? I don't understand women. I've been working all day. And here you've had nothing to do but sit home and watch The Edge at Night. And if you killed him, not a judge in America would convict you. Now, what's the problem with that lady? In the conscious mind, things are unfinished. Now, hear me now. Don't leave me. In the conscious mind, things are unfinished. I can stand up here, and if somebody were walking back there and start looking around, and look, now I'd be preaching and thinking about that too. I'm a two-minded, two-souled man. Now, Bible said that the two-souled person is that way because he has things out of order, things he started and hasn't finished. That's the conscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind. One thing, hear me carefully, one thing causes your crying and not know why, your sadness, you don't know why, one thing causes it. Two words. People talk. Let me illustrate. You sit down and talk about somebody. Now, don't leave me now. You sit down and talk about somebody. Now, I'm not talking about slander necessarily. Maybe slander, may not be. Maybe gossip, may not be. It may be saying, isn't it too bad so-and-so did thus and so? But you start talking. Now, look, they have a problem. I'm talking to Dr. Evans about Mr. Bullard's problem, okay? And God knows Bullard has many problems. You can tell it. First thing, he can't tell the day from the night, as you folks know. But, Doc, you and I are talking about Bullard's problems. Now, you and I talking about his problems won't solve them, right? Now, we have a problem. We know we're facing a problem. It's Bullard's problem. But you and I talking about him. Now, if I solve Bullard's problem, I've got to talk to Bullard. Is that right? Dr. Evans and I cannot get together and solve Bullard's problem. Now, follow me. So what happens? In the subconscious mind, there enters a problem and no solution. So you have a problem, no solution. Same thing as the walls. You started washing, you didn't finish. And the subconscious becomes sad because it's unfinished in the subconscious mind. Now, don't leave me. So what happens? I get with Bullard. Guess what we're going to talk about? Evans. So Bullard and I talk about Evans. And Evans has more problems than Bullard. In fact, Bullard is one of Evans' problems. So, Bullard, you and I talk about Evans, right? Now, we're going to talk about his problems. And a PhD has problems. And so, we talk about it. Now, what happens? Can we solve his problem? You and I talking about it together, Brother Larry? No way. So, what happened? That means, in my mind, there enters another problem and no solution. So I am stacking up in my mind problems without solutions. Now, those problems bypass the conscious and enter into the subconscious, and they are just exactly like the closet that's not finished, you know, haven't finished in the closet, or the walls that are half done, and the lady who sits down at the end of the day and cries. The conscious mind knows she's not finished what she started. She's not solved the problem she had, and the conscious mind becomes sad. Now, the devil-minded man, the Bible talks about, the devil-minded man is that way because he's not finished. Dr. Streeter asked this morning. He said, preacher, he said, how many letters do you dictate a week? I said, probably open 200 letters a day, and I answer most of them. But anyway, any letter that's addressed to me personally and signed, I read it myself. My secretaries don't get it first. I read it myself. But he said, do you have a certain time each week when you are finished, a deadline where you finish your correspondence. He said, I feel I must have a time where I finish my correspondence. Now, what's he saying? He's saying he cannot do his work properly as a medical doctor if he has unfinished business to do. Now, unfinished business will make sad and bring tears to the conscious mind, and unfinished business will bring tears to the subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind gets sad because something is unfinished. And listen, you keep on talking about people, people, people. I'm not talking just about gossip. I'm not talking just about slander. I'm not talking just about criticism. I'm talking about people. Every time you discuss a problem that you cannot solve, you're placing in your subconscious mind an unfinished thing, and you got problem, 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 no solution, and problems stack up, no solutions, and unsolved problems cause unhappiness. I'm not preaching this morning about people talk to try to get folk. You do not talk about people. I'm not trying to help you this morning who are the object of criticism. I'm talking this morning to those of you who are critics. I'm trying to help you. You are placing in your mind problems with no solutions, and the subconscious mind is becoming full of that, and all of a sudden you stop and you begin to cry and you get melancholy. You don't know what's wrong. You have no idea what's wrong. You've been sitting around talking about people too much. You've been holding the telephone to your ear too much. You've been talking about people. You've been criticizing people. You've been thinking about people. And look, you're not hurting them a tenth as much as you're hurting yourself. You are putting in your mind problems that are not yet solved, unfinished business. Now, Doc, if you come to me and say, Preacher, I've got a problem. My first thought is, you sure do. But I say, I can sit down, and we've done this before. I've sat down and I said, now, Doc, this is what I think it is. Now, follow me carefully. When I sat down and talked to Dr. Evans about his problem, I got in the subconscious, I got a problem. Are you listening? Are you as dumb as you look? I got a problem and I got a solution. You follow me? So I carried it to its solution, to its finish. So in the subconscious, I've got the problem, but it's been solved and I can file it in the dead file. But a bunch of unfiled problems get in the subconscious mind, and you become an unstable man because you're double-minded, and the instability causes the double-mindedness, and before you know it, you've lost your joy. Why? Because you talk about people too much. Listen, sit around and talk about people. You criticize this one. Hit the college. You sit around and criticize maybe a building. You don't like the way it's built. Now, you're not hurting the builder. You're not hurting the college. You're hurting yourself. You're putting a bunch of stuff in your mind. It's going to be lodged there. You can't solve it. You sit around and pick up the telephone and call somebody. And for 1 hour, you don't talk about a philosophy, young people, or an idea. You don't talk about the Bible. You don't talk about good things. You talk about people. People talk, people talk, people talk, people talk. And what you're doing is you're putting unsolved problems in the subconscious mind. And I'll guarantee you there's not one happy person in this world who overindulges in people talk. You know, so then you talk about somebody else. And you can't help them. Now, hold it. I'm not talking about going to people and saying, you got a problem, let me tell you what it is. Hear me. Look at me carefully. I never try to solve the problem of a person who does not come to me with that problem. Are you listening to me? I never try to decide whether they're living right or wrong unless they come to me and ask me for advice. Because if I see their problem, and I, in my mind, I solve that problem, I become frustrated because I cannot put my solution into practice. So since I cannot put my solution in practice, I've got filed some unfinished business up here. And brother, you get a bunch of unfinished stuff. You get a bunch of half-finished stuff on your desk, and I'll guarantee you're not going to have a good day. And you get a bunch of half-finished stuff in your mind. That's why, don't think about people's problems. Look, if you just do so-and-so, if he would just do so-and-so. Oh, if he would just do so-and-so. If you just do so-and-so. Look at your face. Look what you've done to yourself. You've frustrated yourself because you've tried to solve a problem nobody's asked you to solve. And you become an unstable man, and because you become unstable, you become double-minded or two-souled, and then you're not happy. Listen, people say, preacher, are you happy all the time? I don't know if I'm or not. Never stop thinking about it often. Well, I do stop thinking about it and find out I'm happy. I'm not unhappy. I don't recall a blue day. I don't recall a time I've been depressed. I don't recall. I don't know the last blue day I had. I don't know the last depressed day I had. I don't know. You say, why? I'll tell you why. There's something inside me that has to finish what I start. I sign Bibles all over this country. If I can ever get my hand on the fellow, the three fellows I want to get my hand on. First, the fellow who invented the top button on shirts. I'll kill him if I ever see him. I'll kill him. Second I want is the guy that invented that thing right there. This guy who invented this hated the whole male gender. He had some bit of vendetta against men. Probably a lady invented these. Probably an ERA-er invented these. You see, I want him. Now, who's that? I started to tell you who else I wanted. Yeah. You leave the preaching to me. I want to get the guy and choke him that invented signing Bibles. Folks, you won't believe this, but I sign sometimes on a Monday night after service. I sign thousands of Bibles. Thousands of them. And you just don't understand my burdens. And you lift. Folks, you think you've got problems. You think your cancer's a burden. You ought to try signing Bibles. But you know what I'll do? I'll sign Jack Hiles, Daniel 12:3. That's my verse I signed. Daniel 12:3. I was in Joplin, Missouri, ate at a restaurant, Howard Johnson's. I always signed the ticket in charge of my room. I signed Jack Hiles, Daniel 12:3, instead of my room number. But sometimes I'll make a J. I'll make a sort of a funny little J like that. Come around like that, and I'll make the A, and I won't quite bring the little jigger on the right up the little jigger on the top. And the A doesn't close. Instead of being closed like that, it's about like that. You know, I give that Bible back to them, and I see that A unfinished. You know what I do? After I've signed three or four Bibles, I'll say, hey, come here. You want me? Yeah, you. Come here. Bring your Bible back. Why? I got to finish that A. I hate something unfinished with a passion. And so do you. An unfinished conscious thing drive you wacky. An unfinished business in the subconscious drives you wacky. And if you want to help your health, you quit your people talk. Look, you can't do anything about somebody's problems unless you're talking to them. Unless they ask you. So when you decide you're going to talk about people and their problems, whether it's critical or non-critical, whether it's slanderous or non-slanderous, you are creating in your subconscious mind unfinished business. A problem, no solution. 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 So your mind is filled with talking about things you have not solved and you cannot solve. And before you know it, you've lost your joy. You're confused. For example, listen carefully to this. Did you know that life's unhappinesses, and I'll say this tonight, more about this tonight, that life's unhappinesses are often caused by unfulfilled appetites. The psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the what? The desires of thine heart. He's not talking about to give the fulfillment of the desires. He's saying he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's why it's wrong to read dirty magazines. Because dirty magazines cause a single person to have some appetites he can't morally fill or satisfy. You follow me? It creates an appetite. That's why these dirty books that float around here, sex-oriented books. They create appetite. And by the way, as a judge, Mr. Crawford, much of the things that you face as a judge were crimes committed by people that never would have been committed if they had not developed appetites that were wrong to fail or satisfy. I'd like to kill him. That's an appetite you've let yourself develop. You delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires. He'll not the fulfillment. He'll give you the right kind of desires. And you get the right kind of desires, you get the right kind of fulfillment. But if you get desires you can't fulfill, you've got frustrations. And before you know it, you've lost your joy. You say, would you explain that to me? Easily and gladly. Quit talking about people. That's it. If I talk to you, I can have a problem and a solution. If I talk about you, I have a problem and no solution. And unsolved problems and unfinished business cause the conscious to be unhappy and the subconscious to be unhappy. Now you say, preacher, what is that, a double-minded man? Well now, Brother Howell, how do you correct it? All right? You don't turn to it, but I will. The answer is over there just in a verse or two following our text. Our text says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, in four chapters later, it says, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Okay, here's a person, people talk. I'm talking about chit-chat. Some of you ladies ought to grab that telephone and jerk it out of the wall and not ever have another one. And you men, too. You know, sitting around after a meal and talking. People talk. Critical. of surmising, appraising. People talk. Now what do you do? How do you cure it? Purify, it says. Purify your heart. What does that mean? Purify your mind? It means, the word purify there is a ceremonial word from the Old Testament. It's the kind of thing when you dedicated a certain piece of holy furniture to the Lord or the temple of the Lord. You purified it, you sanctified it, you set it apart. You said to it, you set here, you'll be used for nothing but that which is holy. Hear me now. You'll be used for nothing but that which is holy. They took the Holy of Holies, they put it in Ark of the Covenant, put it in the Holy of Holies. You have this mic right here. And they put it in the Holy of Holies, and they said, Ark of the Covenant, you will not hold post grape nuts flakes. Nobody's going to put cans of spinach in you. Nobody's going to put any macaroni, boxes of macaroni in you. This is the Ark of the Covenant. And you are set aside. You are purified. You are sanctified. You are dedicated for a cause that is holy and right. And my Bible says, when you take your mind and you dedicate your mind like they dedicated the Ark of the Covenant, and you say, dear God, my mind is dedicated. That's what it means. It says purify. Purify your mind. It means quit sitting around a restaurant and talking about people. It means quit sitting around a coffee table and talking about people. It means quit sitting around the living room and talking about people. It means quit sitting on the telephone and talking about people. It means talk. Somebody said, great minds talk about ideas. Good minds talk about things. And weak minds talk about people. My Bible says in Philippians, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, how can I have this mind, the mind of Christ, to be in me? I take this mind, and I say, mind, here you are. I sanctify you. You will not be used for evil. You will not be used for dirty thoughts. You'll be used for purity and decency. I dedicate you. I sanctify you. I purify you like the holy things of old. Most of us are not sad because we think about immorality, though some are. Most of the people in this room are sad because you spend too much time talking about people. A couple of parents get together and talk about a school teacher. A couple of school teachers get together and talk about a mom and dad or parents. A couple of folks get together and talk about the deacons. A couple of deacons get together and talk about each other. People talk. What is it?
making you unhappy. And you will not be happy as long as you let things enter into your subconscious mind that are unfinished. And when you talk about people, you cannot finish. You cannot solve a problem. Truth is, you're not trying to solve it. You're trying to talk about it. I'm not trying to salvage a church. I think our church is the greatest church in the world. I'm trying to help you personally. I'm trying to give you a healthy mind. But you're, did you hear so-and-so sing that solo this morning? Did you hear that nasal twang? Ed Wolf must have had a bad cold this morning. That's what I thought. I don't know what you thought. But did you hear that? Now, did you know you could have said, that's a good man? If he were a good man, you could have said that. You could say, that's a good man. God bless him. One of the finest men I know is Ed Wolver. And then that would have left nothing unfinished. But you're filing in your... Look, preacher's trying to get us to quit gossiping. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to have a healthy mind and a happy life. And until you decide to dedicate your mind to God, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus... And you decide to dedicate it, sanctify it, set it apart. Just like you would a new building. If you got up this morning and took a package of cigarettes and came down here to this altar and lit one up, we'd grab you. If you took some marijuana and brought it down here and sprinkled it across the altar, we'd grab you and throw you out. Why? Or if you decided to come down here this morning and spread a table and eat some Big Macs, we'd throw you out. This building wasn't dedicated to eat Big Macs. It was dedicated to do what we're doing right now. And we will be frustrated if we ever use this building for anything other than the purpose for which it was dedicated. And you'll be frustrated if you don't decide to use your mind. Dedicated, purified, sanctified, to that which is right, to that which is holy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For the double-minded, the two-souled man, gets that way because he is unstable. He has not completed. He has filed things in his mind that are not finished. And you go ahead and sit there this morning and say, oh, that's it. You go ahead and have your unhappiness and have your blue days and blue nights and shed your tears. But I could help those six ladies and every other lady and man in this room this morning if you would say, by the grace of God Almighty, my people talking days are over. My people talking days are over. I'm going to talk about ideas. I'm going to talk about things. But I'm giving my mind not to let dwell in my mind unfinished things put there because of people talk and criticism, which is a problem I cannot solve, a question I cannot answer. And that's why people are not saved. We're not saved, are not happy. They have a problem that is not satisfied, an appetite that is not satisfied. God has placed something in your heart that will not be satisfied till you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that unsatisfied appetite will bring you unhappiness and misery and sadness now and forever. You come and fill that void with the only one who was made to fill it. Our Heavenly Father.